For a great Chicago show, we can tell you where to go. You should dial your radio to the Skinny and Hooley Show. It's the Skinny and Hooley Show.
Listen, 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 Varna. Oh, listen, Varna. Listen, 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 Varna.
How's it going there, everybody from Cork, New York?
How's it going, everybody? This is Skinny Sheen from the Skinny and Hooley Show. Welcome back.
This is a special guest host, John Sheehan, Skinny's brother.
Johnny Vegas, substituting for Mike Houlihan, who is a little under the weather tonight. But we want to welcome everybody back to the Skinny and Hooley Show. We're here at beautiful Lizzie McNeil's, right on the Chicago River. Come down here every week. Got a nice crowd in here tonight, John, and it's should be a lot of fun. We're broadcasting on WCEV 1450, Chicago's ethnic station, and we're brought to you by Flood Brothers, who have been a great sponsor of ours for many years. So we want to thank Flood Brothers and all our sponsors for coming out. So how's it going there, John?
Oh, it's going great, Skinny. I haven't been on the radio here in little bit, maybe a couple months. I did a little cameo with you guys a few months ago, but it's an honor to sit in for the great Mike Houlihan.
Yes, oh, I know. But we hope we wish Mike the best. We hope he's back next week. I'm sure he will be. But John, we had a great time yesterday. I know you are the other day playing golf. I know you weren't able to make it, but all the boys missed you. We had Froggy McGuire and Beadzo Wright and Dave Durkin, and we had a great time out at George Dunn out in 163rd and Central. So I know you'll be back there soon, though.
Oh, yeah.
You had a good excuse. What was your excuse?
I was babysitting for my grandchildren. So I took them to the park and just sat there and watched them run around. That's what you do when you get my age.
And who are your grandkids?
I've got a 5-year-old grandson, Joey O'Mara, and my... And then June O'Mara is 3, my granddaughter. So they're both in school right now, and they're great kids, and I really enjoy I don't have a regular schedule babysitting, but I get called out of the bullpen occasionally, and I enjoy it. So it's great, Skinny. I know you're just a new grandpa with little John James, J.J. Carey. So.
Yes, we're thrilled. Mary Beth and I, like I tell people, Mary Beth has forgot my first name, so it's worked out really well. But speaking of kids, I want to give a shout-out to Sloan Credence, Chris Credence's daughter. Sloan is 4 years old, and she's a loyal listener and a loyal fan of the Skinny and Hooley Show. She goes to the Beverly Castle, you know, on 103rd Street there. That's where she goes to preschool. And this week coming up, she's going to be a line leader, which is a big deal out there, you know. They just picked the best. But she loves to swim, do gymnastics, and she plays tennis with her friends Christopher and Jacob, who also listen to the Skinny Hooley Show.
Get out.
We want to give a shout-out to Sloan. So keep up the good work, Sloan, and thanks for listening. So anyways, I had a conversation with our old friend PJ O'Day today, and he said to say hello to you. I just wanted
PJ is a great man. You know,
great man. He's the great PJ O'Day.
The man from Clare.
The man from Clare. And he was a great footballer in his day. But tonight, Jen, we're really lucky. We got a couple special guests. We got Joe McGovern and Terry Cornell from the Ancient Order of Hibernians. And they're here today to tell us a little bit about the Hibernians and what they do. So, gentlemen, step up to those mics and... We'll start with Joe. Joe, can you tell us a little bit about the Hibernians?
Yes, the AOH is it's the only truly national Irish organization in the United States. Dates back to 1837, was founded in New York City, but it spread pretty quickly through the United States, and it was basically, at the beginning, something of an Irish immigrants aid society. People would come over and they'd need help finding a job or a place to live, and the AOH would help with that. And there was always a political side to it, and they kept a close eye on what was going on in Ireland, and you know, they were not they were obviously supporters of Irish independence, and you know, that's continued down in somewhat milder form to today. You know, where ever since the Good Friday Agreement, which is 20 years old, I think this week. You know, that it's not the issue it once was, but it's still important, and they're still having problems there, you know, putting the government together in Northern Ireland right now. But anyway, the basic structure of the AOH is what we call the divisions, and in Chicago there's only two now. There's Division 59, which Terry and I belong to, and it's on the south side, and there's Division 32 on the north side. And I understand your broadcast partner, Jim, is a member now of Division 32. Sometime in the last few months, they meet at the Irish American Heritage Center, and our group meets out at the American Legion Hall on 97th and Kedzie, and we meet once a month. Try to do a few things in the community. We sponsor a supper for the homeless at St. Blaise, and support whatever benefits come along. But the reason Terry and I wanted to come on the show was basically to let people know about the organization, that it still exists. We're to be a member, you have to be Catholic and Irish by descent or by birth, and then over the age of 18. So if you're interested in membership, the AOH National Board has a very fine website that actually has a program where you can put your information in, and somebody will contact you about joining and tell you where you know the meetings are. And
how many chapters are like throughout the United States?
You know, I'm not really sure, but it's changed a lot in that they're in places now they never used to be, particularly the South. You know, that Florida, South Carolina. I think there might even be a division in Georgia now. Let's face it, places where there weren't big Catholic populations, you weren't going to have divisions of the AOH. But as people, you know, retire in the South, and that's changed quite a bit. There's parts of the West where we don't have anybody. I don't think Denver has a division. But California's got a couple. Montana's got a very strong division in Butte.
Well, they all went there.
The copper mines.
Yeah. You obviously are in Boston and Philadelphia and the East Coast.
Exactly. It's the strength of the order. The bulk of the membership is New York and Pennsylvania.
And what do people do? Now, you mentioned they can send in their information if they want to get involved. But if they want to do something locally here, do you guys have a website?
Division 32 has a website, and it's waaoh.com, I think, is it. If you go to the National AOH website, which is easy to find, it'll
direct you.
You're right, exactly.
And what about you, Terry? Now, how long have you been involved with the Hibernians?
Approximately 5 years.
And what is your background? Up on the mic.
I'm a lobbyist. I represent a vast number of industries. I became active in the Hibernians because it is a Catholic, an Irish Catholic-based organization, and I like to have a strong tie to my, you know, my family's past. At our meetings, we often talk about Irish history, which I'm kind of a history buff, and I enjoy that part. I enjoy the comradeship of everybody. It's a very close-knit group. The group's not as big as it used to be, but it's still a very close-knit group.
And what about your Irish roots? Tell me about your Irish roots.
Well, my maternal roots come from County Monaghan and County Sligo. My great-great-grandparents, my great-great-grandmother came from a town called Inishkeen inside County Monaghan. My great-great-great-grandfather came from Sligo, and I can't remember the town. I do a lot of family history, and I do a lot of a lot of work in that, and I just enjoy it.
And how long you've been involved for 5 years?
For 5 years.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up on the south side of Chicago, about 79th and Pulaski.
And what parish is that?
St. Pete's.
St. Pete's, yeah. And what about you, Joe?
Christ the King.
Of course, Christ the King. Great Christ the King. You're one of Hooley's neighbors, for God's sake.
Well, yes, he does have, I think, a diploma from Christ the King.
it only took him like 12 years, he said. And they were very difficult years on the nuns.
Oh, yeah. Hooley and I are the same age. We graduated from, I went to St. Cajun's. He was Christ the King. I heard of him all through grade school, high school. Never met him until later, a little later, and we kind of hit it off right away. But I heard a lot of his escapades from some of the guys I went to Mendel High School with. He was at Mount Carmel, and he was kind of a famous guy on the South Side. And moved to New York, and then he came back, and that's when we started to know each other a little better. So.
Yeah. Now, Joe, you're an attorney.
Yes.
And what you practice hidden here in Cook County?
Yes, I have an office in Evergreen Park.
That system, the Cook County justice system, is like a Swiss watch, isn't it?
It hits bumps every once in a while. But generally, given the volume of cases that goes through that, they do a pretty good job, really. I mean, it's staggering the number of files they have. But you know, like nothing, no system's perfect either.
Right, right. But when you have to go to 26 in California, or you got to go to the Daly Center or something, it's just absolutely amazing how many people go in and out of there. And I guess that's what happens when you have, what do we have, like 5.5 million people in Cook County?
I think that's roughly the population, yes.
That's the city of Chicago, and I think it's 126 suburbs, Cook County is. So it's a lot of people.
Jim, if I may, I'd like to give a little bit of a plug to the Irish American Heritage Center's upcoming...
Tonight.
Is it tonight?
Yes.
And one of the people they've chosen to honor tonight that they're inducting into the Irish American Hall of Fame is Father Solanus Casey, who was for many years a Capuchin Franciscan in Detroit. And he was just beatified, I think it was last fall, up at Ford Field in Detroit. They had about 60,000 people there for that. It was a great thing for the Irish in America. You know, he's definitely on his way to sainthood. But the thing I wanted to point out was that...
You were telling me a story about his
family.
Yeah,
he was one of 16 children. They lived in rural Wisconsin. For a time, he was a streetcar conductor, and he was one time worked in a jail as a guard. And he had a hard time getting into the seminary. Eventually he did, and he decided he wanted to become a Capuchin Franciscan. But he spent most of his career in Detroit, in downtown Detroit, helped organize the soup kitchen there. But he would be the guy that would answer the door when people would come to the monastery seeking guidance or counseling. And he was incredibly well-loved in Detroit. I saw a picture of the crowd outside the church when they had his funeral mass, which was in 1957. There must have been 10,000 people trying to get into the church. But the AOH up in Detroit, they worked hard, along with a lot of other people and a lot of other groups, to get the cause for canonization, for sainthood, through. I first heard about Solanus Casey from a Hibernian in Detroit, Michigan, about 25 years ago. And at that time, they were just, well, I think I'm not sure where in the sainthood process they stood, but it's a tremendous thing for
the
Irish.
Well, that's a great honor to be inducted at the Irish American Hall of Fame. Cliff Carlson does such a great job putting that together every year. It is tonight at the Irish American Heritage Center. I think it starts at 7. You still have time to go up there. It's a tremendous event. I've been up there a few times myself. It's absolutely fabulous. And there's a lot of... We'll talk a little bit later about some of the other inductees, but that's tremendous that they selected Blessed Solanus Casey. And there's so many people. When you look at the history of any city in the United States... you know, especially the ones where the Irish went to, they educated all the immigrant kids. They built schools and hospitals and universities. And, you know, I know it's not fashionable today to talk about what they did, but when you looked at, you know, the St. Michael's is right over here on North Avenue. St. Michael's had a pastor. They had 21 assistants. I mean, and they had, you know, 4,500 kids in the school. The same with, what's the one right next to St. Ignatius?
Holy Family.
Holy Family. And all those kids that went through there, you know, Father Damon was over there. He started Holy Family, St. Ignatius. He started Loyola University. But there were so many nuns and priests that came here. And there was not all the, you know, the social nets that they have now for everybody. But if it wasn't for them, and I'm not just talking about the Irish, but all of the church hierarchy and the people that were doing the nuns and the priests that did everything for whether it's the Italians or the Germans or the Irish or the Polish, it's amazing. And they never, ever get the credit that when you talk about Blessed Casey, you know, this is another example.
You know, I'm a lot more familiar with the churches on the south side, and I went to a look at Roseland, and every ethnic group has their, you know, the Lithuanians had their church. There was Holy Rosary Irish and Holy Rosary Slovak. A lot of them worked for Pullman Works over in Roseland or in the steel mills. And then at Bridgeport is almost the same type of thing. There's a different parish for different nationalities, and they were all Catholic. And the tuition, you know, we were fortunate enough. We had large families. That we got a good Catholic education for, you know, even in today's dollars, you look back and it seems like it was like almost for nothing because you had the nuns teaching there and the poor nuns they barely got a meal every day, but they were, you know, now
and
you're.
I know it's and it's fun today to talk about how the nuns whacked you around and stuff, but you know. And I got whacked a few times, but every time I deserved it, you know? I mean, but so what? You came out, you could read or write.
I got whacked a lot more because being 3 years behind Skinny in school, they said, your brother James. And everybody goes, who's James? That's Skinny. He was such a troublemaker. And then they'd go, oh, but he's going to Quigley now, and he's straightened out. But, you know, so they kind of looked at me as like, we're gonna get this guy, too, and straighten him out. But thanks a lot, Skinny.
Yeah. Okay. Back to what we're saying about the history and that. You guys want to chime in there?
Yeah. I agree with what you said about the contribution the nuns made to. I don't think you would have a Catholic middle class or even certainly not the, you know, the Catholic upper class without the contribution. Without them, you know, that school system was amazing. I think at one time in Chicago there were more kids in Catholic schools than in the public schools. Maybe it might have been the 1930s or 40s,
I know for a long time it was the third largest school system in the United States, and New York was the largest, the public schools there, and it was Los Angeles or Chicago was second, but the Catholic school system was bigger than any other school system, and everybody knows that, every parish, everybody, and the amount of money that, you know, they saved the taxpayers, and they, you know. But it was the schools which were fabulous, but the high schools and then the hospitals and the universities and stuff. It, you know, DePaul is the largest Catholic school in the United States. Loyola is a tremendous school. But the history that you can say, you know.
Well, I think the difference between back then and now is, I was saying to Joe just a little while ago, I mean, like the nuns at St. Bede's, they were very tough on us, and sure, they gave us a whack, but they didn't do it for sport. They made sure that you knew that there was consequences for your actions.
Right.
So when you got out in the real world, you didn't work in the justice system. You know, I had a nun that, you know, I was kind of a tiger when I was younger, and, you know, she, you know, was going to break me. She actually did. And I'll tell you, the nuns were very good to me. I went to... You know, especially when I went to St. Xavier. I went to St. Xavier. I had a nun by the name of Sister Dennis.
Oh, yes, Sister Dennis.
Wonderful woman.
She's the best.
And I wasn't in a very good financial position. So when she would push me and just put me in the classes just so I get credit hours. So finally, when I started making money, I would play Santa Claus for her out at some of the local parishes. I did fundraising for school for some of the schools for windows. I sat on the golf committee, and I paid it back that way. But it was through, you know, nuns like Sister Denizna who guided me, who made sure that I stayed on the straight and narrow, and you know, became a responsible adult.
Right, right. Well, they expected you to do that. And St. Saves is an example. You know, my mother graduated from St. Saves in 1932. It was a woman's school. The north side was Mundelein, south side was St. Saves, and it was a big deal then. There was 24 women in her graduating class in 1932. And, you know...
That's when it was on Cottage Grove.
Right.
49th and Cottage Grove.
49th and Cottage.
I think, I could be wrong about this, did Hales take over their building?
No, St. Elizabeth
Hales Franciscan.
St. Elizabeth did, wasn't it?
No, it was Hales Franciscan. Took over. St. Elizabeth was over on 38th and I believe Indiana. But
yeah. And Hales, yeah, it was Hales that took it
they
over.
They closed down and then Hales opened a couple of years later in the old. St. Xavier moved over to 103rd in the 50s, and then Hales reopened in mid 60s.
I mean, it's really grown into a huge institution. I mean,
oh yeah.
I mean, every year you take a look at it, they're doing construction. More people are coming in there, and I still think, even though there's a lot of lay people there, I do think it's all rooted in the Sisters of Mercy tradition. I mean. The teachers were outstanding, and I was not a valedictorian, but they really worked hard with me, and you know I went, you know, it was a very good school, and still is a good school. My daughter graduated, got her master's from there. She loved it. I mean, it's a great school.
But that's the thing with the Irish immigrants that came here. That's the story that they have. They came here. They didn't look for a handout. They basically worked hard, once got well educated, followed the laws. They learned to follow the laws, and they became productive citizens. The Irish are an extremely successful ethnic group in this country, but this country gave them a great opportunity, and they stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's an incredible story, the success that they've had. You know, they came here with absolutely nothing, most of them,
right.
And it's just a tribute to America that it is a country where if you're willing to work hard, you can get ahead, and I think that's still true today.
Absolutely, absolutely. And by the way, Joe, you would know this. My mother, we had 9 kids in our family, but my father was a Chicago policeman, and he was from Ireland, and he used to say, "Your mother is a plain clothes nun." That was his thing with my mother.
She was a plain clothes detective because she caught me every time I did something wrong.
Yeah. So, well, what else is coming up with the Hibernians?
Oh, not much. I think we're going to try to get ourselves over to Comiskey Park at some point this summer. We just did our thing at St. Blaise the week after St. Patrick's Day, and we may go back in the fall. It's really a kind of interesting experience over there. It's mostly Hispanic in Summit these days, but there's a 3 Polish, maybe bigger than that, Polish Albertine nuns who run this place, and every Wednesday night they put on a free supper for the homeless, and different groups sponsor it. And provide people to help serve it. It's really a humbling experience. You know, they get 70, 80, sometimes even 90 people in there on a Wednesday.
Yeah, sometimes they do some stuff with the Franciscans on the west side here. They have 475 or 500 people a night, and they have a shelter over there. It's the Franciscans. Whether it's the Franciscans or the BVMs or the whatever, They just do a tremendous job. Well, that's great. Well, listen, we want to thank you guys for stopping by. Terry Cornell.
We want to thank you for allowing us to tell our story.
And Joe,
thank you
so much.
John, yeah. Nice to see you both.
Good
luck
to
the Hibernians. Good luck to the Hibernians.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Thanks very much. We're going to be taking a little break here. We'll be right back after these messages.
Attention commercial business owners, industrial business owners, restaurateurs, apartment, condominium, and building maintenance managers. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service wants to earn your business. When was the last time you checked your garbage disposal rates? How about making a call or emailing for a free quote today at 773-626-5800 or online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. Flood Brothers is one of the last family-owned and operated solid waste recycling and yard waste firms serving metropolitan Chicagoland. Flood Brothers specializes in expert personalized service, extremely competitive pricing, and is backed by the Flood Brothers family name. Call Flood Brothers today. There's no charge other than a phone call to get a free quote. Call 773-626-5800 or go online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. When your name is on the trucks, you work harder to satisfy every customer. Call 773-626-5800. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service. Your garbage and recycling waste is their bread and butter.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClurg Court. We spend a lot of time there taping the Skinny and Hooley show at Lizzie's almost every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 7 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salad, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's, you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river. Tell them you were sent by Skinny and Hoover.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Near Banbridge, down in the county, down one evening last July, down a boring green came a sweet Connie, and she smiled as she passed me by. She looked so neat in her two bare feet and the sheen in her nut brown hair. Such a coaxing elf, I had to shake myself to make sure I was standing there. From Bantry Bay down to Derrickhead, from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like the fair Colleen that I met in the county down. As she onwards sped, and I shook my head and I gazed at the feeling queer. And I says I to a passerby, who's your one with the nut brown hair? He smiled at me and with pride says he, she's the gem of old Ireland's crown. Young Rosie McGann from the banks of the Ban and the star of the county down. From Bantry Bay to Derrickhead, from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like the fair Colleen that I met in the county down. She'd a soft brown eye and a look so sly and a smile like a rose in June. And your held each knot in her auburn throat as she lilted laments and tunes. At the padded and down she'd be in a trance as she skipped through a jig or a wheel. When her eyes she'd roll as she lift your soul and your heart she would lightly steal. From Bantry Bay down to Derrickhead, from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like a fair Colleen that I met in the county down. The harvest fair should be surely there, and I'll dress in me Sunday clothes. Wet me hat got right and me shoes shone bright for a smile from the nut brown rose. No horse I'll yoke, no pipe I'll smoke, till the rest of me plough turn brown. And a smile bright by my own fireside, it's the star of the county down. From Bantry Bay down to Derrickhead, from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like a fair Colleen that I met in the county down.
She'd a soft
brown eye and her look so sly and a smile like a rose in June. And your hellish knot in her auburn throat that she lilted the men's and tunes. At the Patterton dance she'd be in a trance as she skipped through a jig or a rail. When her eyes she'd roll and she'd lift your soul and your heart she would lightly steal.
Sheen of her nut brown hair, such a coax and elf had to shake myself to make sure I was standing there. From Bantry Bay down to Derry Kay, from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like the fair Colleen that I met in the county down. From Bantry Bay down to Derry Kay, from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like the fair Colleen that I met in the county down. From Bantry Bay down to Derry Kay, from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like the fair.
And we're back on the Skinny and Hooley Show. Hooley is not here tonight. I got my brother John Sheehan, the famous Johnny Vegas, is substituting for Hooley. He's doing a darn good job, and we want to thank him for coming out. You know, when we were talking a little later, earlier to the guys from the Hibernians, we talked about tonight at the Irish American Heritage Center. They have the Irish American Hall of Fame inductees. And we mentioned, of course, Blessed Silenus Casey, who's one of the inductees in Ancient Order of Hibernian. But there's a number of other ones that are being inducted tonight. And if you get a chance, run up there. I know it's just in a few hours, but if you could go up there. Sister Ann Ida Gannon, a BVM, who is the head of Mundelein College, is being inducted. She's been very involved in education. She's a BVM nun, so she's one of the ones that's being honored under education. Under sports, Charles Comiskey, the old Roman, who he was a Major League Baseball player, manager, team owner. You know, his father was from Ireland, and he ended up owning the Chicago White Sox. Comiskey Park was named after him, and when he owned the White Sox, he said, I'm going to have a team on the south side. At that time, not too long after they dug the canal and all that stuff, and Bridgeport was filled with all the Irish immigrants. And he said, I'm going to have a team for the working Irishmen and women.
Yeah, and he was a player. I think it was 1910 or 1909 that Comiskey Park opened up. I believe maybe it was
July 4th.
July 4th, and it went for another till 90.
80 years.
Yeah, 80 years it went, and it was a beautiful place. They built it. I think they broke ground on St. Patrick's Day, and they opened up July 4th,
which was pretty amazing.
Yeah, originally it wasn't as large. They added a few the upper deck and
some other things, but it only took them 3.5 months to build a place. But Doris Kearns Goodwin is the historian that they're honoring. Doris Kearns is a world-renowned presidential historian, a Pulitzer Prize winner, critically acclaimed by so many people. She wrote The Bully Pulpit. She wrote the biography of William Howard Taft. I know she wrote Team of Rivals, which was about Lincoln's cabinet. And she wrote about Eleanor and Franklin Roosevelt. So Doris Kearns Goodwin.
I see James T. Farrell of the Studs Lanigan trilogy.
Yes.
Southsider. I believe he
was born in Chicago, yeah.
I believe he went to Mount Carmel High School. I might be mistaken.
Yes, he did. I think he went there when Hooley was there.
Yeah, I think he and Hooley were graduating. It was somewhere in the early 20s.
Right. But he is a famous, famous Chicagoan, Irish-American Chicagoan, who wrote the trilogy and many other things. There are also honoring Chuck Feeney, for business and industry. He was a philanthropic guy. I think he was a banker and a businessman. He had the largest private foundation in the world. But he was famous for, at one time, he had $7.5 billion that, and basically all the money that he made, he gave away. Very active guy, Charles Francis Feeney. Public Services Vice President Joe Biden, who we all know Joe Biden, is another Irish-American from Scranton, Ohio, and served under President Obama for 8 years. And
yeah, he's. I think he's going to be coming in. I'm not sure. I thought he was actually going to attend the event. That was a couple months ago, but I don't know if I haven't got an update. Maybe you might know, Skinny. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was coming in. And then Jim and Tess Nix's, who listen to the show, their daughter worked for Joe. Sheila worked for Joe for a long time and worked for his family for a long time. But anyways, she was his chief of staff, but a great guy, Joe Biden. And finally, John Philip Holland for science. Now, there's not that many famous science people with the Irish, but we gotta throw him in there. So those are the people. And the hometown hero this year is Mark Doyle. Mark's an old buddy of mine. Used to work for Phil Stefani. Great, great guy. He also worked for Biden on campaigns and stuff. So we want to congratulate Mark Doyle. We want to congratulate all those people that are being inducted into 2018 Irish American Hall of Fame tonight at the Irish American Heritage Center. So if you get a chance, run up there. Should be very, very good. It always is good. And
Skinny, I heard you were, not to change the subject, but you were talking to PJ. I didn't get a chance to, you mentioned.
Yeah, I talked to PJ today, and he's doing great. And I wanted to mention that the O'Day reunion they have every year is at the Old Ground Hotel in Ennis, County Clare, May 10th to the 13th this year. May 10th of the 13th, the O'Day family reunion is taking place, and we want to thank PJ for that information. And I don't know if you remember, George or John, when we were in Ireland, we went and visited our cousin, George Chambers, in Ballinacally.
Oh, that was great. I actually stopped by there with my two daughters and my two sons. It was about 10 years ago. We stopped by, and George was a musician, as you know. He had a couple CDs. He put them on, and then he played a little bit.
He played everywhere, every night, you know. And the thing that was surprising, he was related to us, and he never drank.
Yeah, I know.
Which was really surprising. But when we were there, he took us to the cemetery, and he showed us, you know, my grandmother's parents, Tim and Mary Sexton.
Right.
They were buried in just a place. But I remember when we went to the old ground. It was yourself, myself, Joe, and Mike. And when we went in there, he said, these are my cousins from Chicago. They're all millionaires.
Yeah.
I was looking around. I thought he had some other people with him. But great guy.
We went to it was a newer house that was built about 100 years ago. But, you know, our grandmother left there over 100 years ago. And the remnants of their house, it looked like a garage. He goes, that's where they lived. There was 22 kids raised in that house. You know, our grandmother was one of 22. So I told my daughters, don't ever complain about the size of your house. Take a look at where you came from, you know.
Exactly. You know, and when talking to PJ, he reminded me about there's a few couple people that have passed away. So if we want to go into that now, Billy, we can talk about who died. You remember Tom Sheehan passed away, John, the father of Kevin Sheehan, the Judge Kevin Sheehan. Tom Sheehan was from Ireland. And
his others, well, I believe he had several other children. I know Tommy Sheehan's he's a retired Chicago police officer, too. He worked in various jobs and ended up being a footman in 22. Great guy, Tommy.
Kevin is a
neighbor of ours in St. Cajun, and see him at church, and he's a great, great judge, good man. You know?
Yeah. And Tom Sheehan, so we want to say a prayer for him. We could not get some of the information today, but we'll have it for you next week. But so say a prayer for Tom Sheehan, father of Kevin Sheehan and Tom Sheehan, And there's other family members. We'll remind you of that next week. He also, PGA also asked me to mention Dolores Hennigan, 83, of Elmwood Park. Passed away a week ago. She was married to James Hennigan from County Mayo for 52 years. They lived up on the north side, and they had a lot of relatives and nieces and nephews and so forth. But she was buried out of St. Celestine Church in Elmwood Park. They lived in, excuse me, not the north side, Elmwood Park. I think everything is the north side. And we do want to say a prayer for Dolores Hennigan, and thank you, PJ, for that information. We really appreciate it. So,
well, I probably shouldn't divulge this, but I think PJ still lives in Elmwood Park.
Yeah, the great PJ O'Day. Hey, and you mentioned something about Murray.
Yeah, Rich Murray, retired heavy equipment operator with the City of Chicago.
Great Irishman.
He actually owned a pub over on Pulaski, which he bought from our friend Wally Gannon. He and Chris O'Dwyer. Chris was from Tipperary. He was also an operating engineer. And great guy, Rich. He was in the U.S. Navy and was in the reserves. And he was a very friendly guy, well-liked. So,
say a prayer for Rich Murray. And say a prayer for all those people. So we want to thank PJ for his help. And thank everybody for listening. Now we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame. Played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Juries won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
If you're looking for an office in the Loop, you've got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 115 South LaSalle Street. IOS has an entire floor in this very prestigious building, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference rooms, day office usage, administrative support services, with customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com. That's integratedofficesuites.com. Or call them at 312-648-6200 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. Don't forget that number, 312-648-6200.
I'm Brendan O'Brien. Back in June of 1976, a guy opened a saloon on the south side called Riley's Daughter. That guy is my dad, Boz O'Brien. Millions of pints have been poured since then. Our family has quenched the thirst of the south side for over 41 years. The storied history of Riley's Daughter is familiar to generations of friends who've told me their tales of nights they'll never forget at Riley's. Maybe they met their future wife or hubby at Riley's, or maybe they were there for many of our White Sox, Bears, or Notre Dame trips, or maybe their grandmother once bribed the judges in our Irish soda bread contest. We'll never tell. My family has been proud to be part of that over the years. One thing my dad has taught me is that you can't have too many friends. The legacy of Riley's Daughter has been the people we've been lucky enough to meet who stop by and share their good times with us. Today, we're back in the South Side, right where we started, at 4010 West 111th Street in Oak Lawn. As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. We actually closed the deal on our return the day Yogi died. God rest his soul. 2 years later, we haven't missed a step. If Yogi were alive, we'd tell him. Pull up a stool at Riley's Daughter and make yourself at home. If it's good booze and a friendly chat you're looking for, please stop by and say hello to my dad, Boz, my brother, Danny, or me, Brendan O'Brien. If you don't bring a story, we'll make sure you leave here with one. And if you mention the Skinny and Hooley Show, we'll make sure to put an extra ice cube in that drink of yours. Hope to see you back at Riley's Daughter in Oak Lawn on 111th Street.
And we're back. The Skinny
yes,
Hooley
yes,
Show.
Yes.
Skinny Shane and his brother John.
How am I doing so far, Skinny?
Yeah, you're doing great.
Those are big shoes to fill, Hooley's, you know.
Yes, they are. They are big shoes. And Hooley is very, very good at this, by the way, just in case you're wondering.
I know. He's
he's
a legend.
He is a legend, and he does a great job every week. But there's a lot of things that are going on. I want to just to take a minute to talk about I know I talk about the Special Olympics, but we do have Special Olympics coming up, our 50th anniversary. There's quite a few things going on. We're trying to raise a lot of money, and we're doing very good at it right now. But this celebration, people are coming from all around the world to be here with us in July for the 50th anniversary. I think most people know the story about it. But we're really proud of the fact that we've got the city and the state behind us. There's people coming from all 50 states and from many of the 172 countries. We have a lot of things lined up. We're building an eternal flame over at Soldier Field, which should be spectacular. We're going to have soccer at different venues, and then they're going to do the finals at Toyota Park. And we'll have more information on that, but we're going to ask people to come out and support the Special Olympics throughout the summer. This May 2nd, next week, we have Tom Ricketts from the Chicago Cubs. He's doing a breakfast for us at Maggiano's at 7:30 on May 2nd. If you want to stop down at Maggiano's, Tom Ricketts is going to talk to tickets are $200, but it goes to a great cause. So we want to thank the Chicago Cubs and Tom Ricketts. We also want to thank the Blackhawks and the White Sox and the Bears, the Bulls. Everybody is supporting the Cubs, the Sox. I want to make sure I get them all. But they're all supporting our 50th anniversary. But they support Special Olympics year-round. And we're very fortunate to live in a city like Chicago where we have such great support from the corporate community and from the sports areas.
You know, Skinny, it's amazing how far in 50 years that these people have, you know, come that participate, and they're it's just so gratifying seeing how happy they are, you know, with all these events, and it's a real tribute to everybody that volunteers. And
well, you know what, it changed their lives. You know, you go back 50 years, in the 60s, when people had someone with Down syndrome or someone that was intellectually challenged, they would not, you know, they were afraid to bring them out, and they hit them, and it brought everybody out, got them out, got them involved with people like their own. Once they got involved with sports, they developed friends. Now you got them. These people that are challenged, they've got jobs. They got some of them drive. They're doing tremendous, and all that. Not just that, but anybody with a disability. A lot of that came out of the Special Olympics movement, and we want to thank Ann Burke in particular, Justice Ann Burke. Chicago Park District. She worked there, and she started doing that actually a couple of years before the games in 1968. And at the same time, they were doing something on the East Coast. The Kennedys were doing that, and they all came together with Mayor Daley. They came up with this idea to do it at Soldier Field, a day of play and competitions, and that's where it all began on July 20th, 1968.
That's tremendous. What a great story, you know, and
great thing for Chicago. Hey, you know, we mentioned one other thing I want to mention before, and we always talk about the Irish Fest. It's coming. I know it's a short time, but speaking of July 6th, 7th, and 8th, the Irish American Heritage Center is having their Irish Fest. And every year it gets better. We want to thank Gino Cooney, who heads up the Irish American Heritage Center. And they're going to have a weekend of traditional Irish music, dance, food, cultural exhibits. It's just a great weekend. So mark that on your calendars also.
You know what is coming up in May, May 19th? It's called The Gathering. It's going to be out at Gaelic Park. Basically, it's a reunion for some of the Irish pubs and bars that were frequented by a lot of Irish and Irish Americans. You know, I'm not going to go through the whole list, but you had places like Kevilehan's and the Roadhouse, Vaughn's and the Abbey, etc. So that's coming up at about 8 o'clock on the 19th of May. So it's basically a kind of a reunion for that whole gang of people that were frequent at these establishments.
Yes, you know, and Bridget Conway used to be a guest on here. She was the Rosa Trelli about 4 years ago, and she went to work for Worldwide Concern, which is a Irish charity, which was started in Dublin. Now they have chapters in Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and so forth. But on June 1st, they're having a luncheon, and the special honoree that's speaking is Madeleine Albright. Julian asked me to mention this, Madeleine Albright would be speaking in, and Dr. Joanne Smith. You can go to worldwideconcern.com and get the information on this, but it's Friday, June 1st. It's a women's luncheon, so all are invited, if you're women anyway. So thanks, Huli, for that tip.
Yeah, well, that's Huli. Hey, I would be remiss if I didn't, you were talking about, I didn't want to go back to PJ, but I wanted to give a shout out to PJ and
Mary.
Remind him that he played football with Pat Linane, and that's, I'm very, you know, I've been dating Pat Linane's daughter, Rita Heron, and anyways, every time I see PJ, he mentions that fact, and they were both from County Clare, and they played football there, so.
PJ was a great footballer, and he said to remind people, too, that it's 326 days until St. Patrick's Day. We'll start all over again, but we're in April now, and we are getting ready to take a short break here. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together, and as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this is one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of success is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. The name Sheehy on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family, and you know you never forget something like that. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Orico, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves in offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
Well, there's Hooley. Thank you, Hooley, and thanks to Concern. That was great. This has been a Hooley-free show. We want to thank Mike Houlihan for taking a rest tonight and hope he gets better. He did remind me, though, we want to remind people to say a prayer for Jackie Castro, a good friend of ours in the South Side. Jackie's going through some tough times right now.
He's a tough man, Jackie. Great guy.
Great guy, and he has that restaurant on Western Avenue.
Ken's,
which is kind of an institution, and it's a place where we know a lot of guys that hang out there. And but Jackie's is just a great, great guy, a guy that helped a lot of people out. Also, I want to mention the Skinny and Hooley trip to Ireland. This year is on October 11th to 18th, and we're taking reservations right now. Excuse me, Skinny will not be able to go this year, but we still are working to get the trip filled up.
Yeah, I went 2 years ago, and I had a blast, but it took me about 2 months to recover from the trip because I tried to burn the candle at both ends, and I'm not 24 anymore, but I had a great time, and I would highly recommend it.
Well, one thing, John, which you have to admit is we have 35 or 40 people, but everybody doesn't have to do everything together. Some people like to visit the chapels. They like to go to look up history, Irish history. Other people like to go visit their families, areas or whatever. And we try to make it something where it's a lot of fun for the group, but also there's individual things to do. Some people like to get up in the morning, go for a walk or a run. But, you know, we try to do some things together, and it's always worked out well, and it's always been entertaining, people that have been there. And I'll be honest with you, Hooley and I don't know if we've ever gotten any really complaints or someone that afterwards said, I had a bad time.
No, we had a blast. We went down and did the Ring of Kerry. We were in Dingle. I went out to go to an ATM. I walked out the door. We were right on the ocean. And as I take a left out, it was raining a little bit. They gave me an umbrella at the hotel, and I looked, and here was a bull about an inch from my face. And I'd have to describe it in person, but I was just a city boy. I was a little bit afraid.
You should have Dave Cahill with you. He would have loved that. You know, John, I do want to mention that today is Margaret McGann's birthday. She's 30 years old.
Oh, Margaret, what a great girl. Yeah,
great girl. You know, she worked for years and years growing up at the Beverly Woods, and we want to congratulate Margaret and wish her a happy birthday from the Skinny and Hooley show, and we want to wish her many more. She's a great girl. A lot of laughs. We had a lot of fun with Margaret, didn't we?
Oh, we had a ball with her. She's got a great personality, and happy birthday, Margaret. Oh, yeah, beautiful young lady. So
and she was always real good to us at the Beverly Woods. And one other thing I want to invite everybody to come out to is next Thursday at Soldier Field. It's the opening ceremonies for our spring games. It's free. You actually get free parking at Soldier Field. Come there at between 9 and 10 in the morning. It starts at 10 o'clock. We have the parade of athletes. Everyone is welcome. Come out and support it if you can. You'll really enjoy it. Bring out your family. Everyone's welcome. So thanks again, everybody, and we will see you later.
Bye.
The Skinny and Hooley Show is recorded in front of a live audience.